With the new digital age ever encroaching into our lives, even the art market is changing rapidly as baby boomers age and then begin to deaccumulate their art. Millennials are right behind them, snapping it up in their own unique fashion. To take us into this new art world and its ever-changing landscape, Peter Lowry joins me. Peter is recognized as being the most experienced modern art and design specialist in the auction house industry. He's the director of modern design and fine art at Los Angeles Modern Auctions. And also, you may know him because he happens to moonlight as the modern art authority on PBS's Antique Roadshow. Hey, Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Steve.
So give us some historical context. When did you start in the industry and what was it like back then?
Well, actually, I started very early, almost as a kid. I was 18 and just out of high school, and my older brother had developed a business of selling mid-century modern furniture and 20th century icons of popular culture. Mm-hmm. So I joined him as kind of an intern. And by the time I was 20, I was already developing a kind of a sense of connoisseurship about works made in the 20th century.
So you were initially involved in furniture, right? And you started your own gallery or your own store, right?
Yeah, our original passion was objects. Furniture was a big part of it, mm-hmm. but we also sold glass and ceramics and books and jewelry and anything that was made by a 20th century artist or craftsperson that were rejecting classicism and taking avant-garde practices into their medium.
So what did you eventually sell that business and move into another area of the art world? How did that transition?
No, actually, it's just kind of morphed into a more developed art model. The buyers today are completely different than the buyers back then.
Yeah.
I used to sell to enthusiasts, people who just wanted to surround themselves with these interesting objects and including works of art. But today people are looking more at these objects in the context of investment, as well as nice objects to surround themselves with.
Yeah, I want to get into that, the difference between the baby boomer buying art and, let's say, the millennial market. So baby boomers are more apt to collect for aesthetic reasons because I guess we're, in a sense, I'm a baby boomer. You know, we were used to buying and having objects, and if they're objects of great beauty, surrounding ourselves with them, as you've said. Millennials have a kind of a different attitude, I think. Maybe they're more into the experience of things rather than owning things. I don't want to put words into your mouth, but I wanted to kind of get that conversation started and see if I'm going down the right path.
Yeah, I think when I started in the mid-80s, I was selling mostly to baby boomers, and they really did want to have an aesthetic experience of sort of acquiring pieces, becoming what they perceived as being a modern day collector of objects that you can use as well as just objects, you know, to surround yourself to enhance your daily life. And over the years, that's kind of morphed because a lot of this material that was very inexpensive at the time has gone up in value. And you really can't ignore the fact that when you're buying these pieces today, it is an investment.
Yeah.
Investment, because it's one of the biggest, you know, reasons to make a decision. You know, am I going to really buy this dining table that's $45,000 today? Because that's a significant investment. So it's going to take an investment to acquire these pieces today. So you really have to be more cautious and more thoughtful about what you're buying to make sure that you're buying the works that are continuing to hold their value.
Well, you know, when you're younger and you don't really have the wherewithal to spend a lot of money, then it's kind of art for art's sake is because you like it. But, you know, if that table was $1,000 30 years ago and now it's at $45,000 and you're going in there going, I'm going to spend $45,000 on this dining room table, you know, there better be another element or at least question you ask yourself, you know, what is the value of this thing going to be in the future, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, because a more significant portion of your funds are going towards these purchases today, I think. So you have to be cautious and make sure that you're making a wise decision.
One of your ideas that you've written about is one where you think baby boomers, and I mentioned this a little bit in the intro, will be deaccumulating their art. Over the next 20 years, you think kind of the baby boomers, in a sense, will be out of the art market, and the art market has changed, or the collective psychology has changed, because in other generations, a lot of this art would have been passed down through inheritances, but that may no longer be the case. Can you explain that to us?
So the baby boomers now have been collecting for over 30 years. And if you know, imagine the arc of a collector, they start collecting when they're in their 30s and 40s. And at some point, those collections need to be disseminated. In the earlier eras, these works were just passed down through the family, like you mentioned, as sort of heirlooms. But today we're seeing collectors and their offspring, you know, have different ideas of what they want to keep and what they want to sell. And sometimes these pieces have gone up so much in value that it really is a strong consideration to consider, you know, the financial value of these works. And so I think we're seeing more baby boomers starting to sell now as they get to that age where transition of their collection is going to be more popular rather than keeping these works together as collections.
Yeah, I guess the idea is that, you know, if in fact you've been fortunate enough to own this art and it's now appreciated greatly, you're going to ask yourself the question, you know, why don't I just sell it now and get the benefit from the value of these things to diversify my financial holdings, maybe do some of the things that I want to do, not knowing, first of all, what the value of this art's going to be, you know, decades from now as tastes and fashion shifts. And maybe the kids really just don't really care for the art anyway, because they have their own sense of style. So if in fact baby boomers are going to be selling off, you know, their art into the marketplace, where are the opportunity for investors there? Because I love to see something that's almost a significant long-term trend. It seems like you could make some investment plans to take that opportunity on that.
Well, I think one important thing that exists now that didn't exist 30 years ago when I started is the readily transfer of information. It's just so much easier to understand what things are worth now than it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
30 years ago, you really needed to go to an expert, and the expert tended to keep the information to themselves. It wasn't in a dealer's best interest to share that information. So you really never were sure about what something was worth 30 years ago. You only could find out by asking what a dealer was charging for it. Mm-hmm. Today, information is so easy to exchange that almost anyone now can look up the value of works that they're collecting. And there's a whole network of dealers like myself who will share that information for free and very quickly. So that is actually a unique distinction about the market today as opposed to 30 years ago. And that gives people the option of understanding what things are worth almost on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Almost like you would look up your stock portfolio, you can now look up your art collection portfolio.
Yeah, so there's all this greater transparency, which is a very, very positive outcome of the digital age. I mean, I have personally have bought items online through various auction sites and been very, very happy with the idea that I can buy a David Hockney, who's one of my favorite artists, and know that, you know, it's the real thing, and then have it delivered and then have it framed and have it up in my home. I don't think I really would have done that because I'm a, you know, kind of a low level collector. I wouldn't have done that necessarily 25 or 30 years ago. It would have taken a lot more effort for me to go and start shopping dealers and understanding the market. And as you say, they would keep the information close to the vest. So let's talk about digital. By the way, I'm speaking with Peter Lowry. He's the director of modern design and fine art at Los Angeles Modern Auctions. And you may know him because he also moonlights as the modern art authority on PBS's Antique Roadshow. So, Peter, how much has the digital world changed the art market? And tell us now where millennials are headed in this area.
So the digital world has turned the art world upside down. 30 years ago, it was very difficult to get information as a collector. Today, it's very easy. And that means you can be sure of what you're buying, that it's authentic, for example, or B, you know, what it really is worth. You can find out things like prints and multiples and objects that are not unique but made in multiple. You can find out what other examples have sold for mm-hmm. very easily and very quickly. So you can understand, well, if the last one sold for X, then I feel comfortable paying X for this one.
Yeah.
And that presents the marketplace with a kind of a credible market value that was not seen in previous generations.
Right. So what are millennials buying these days?
So, well, I'm seeing a large group of millennials coming into our auction galleries, and they are looking for investment quality 20th century art and design. And that means that they have a taste for modernism and for contemporary art periods and movements, but they're focusing more on the pieces that have the most value-oriented backgrounds.
What does that mean? Give me an example of that.
If you had a Venn diagram of a circle of all of the things that you like and another circle of all of the things that have tradable, reproducible value, mm-hmm. and you overlap them in some way, you know, where they overlap is where you should be focusing on. That's the advice I give young collectors. Find pieces that you like that are also holding their value and consistently tradable.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Peter Lowry is with me. You can find him at lamodern.com. Hey, Peter, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Steve.
To hear this conversation again, to find out more about Peter and what he has to say about the art market, don't forget to join the conversation at stevepomerantz.com, P-O-M-E-R-A-N-Z, stevepomerantz.com.